Hello, beautiful people.
Indeed, that is one of my biggest pleasure, is always when I went to my own
farm. I think it is important to first understand what a healthy relationship with food is for us to know what it is not.
Not try.
I can relate.
Selfish.
So, no. You could be your own farmer pretty soon. Who knows?
Trust me when I tell you, there will always be challenges. There will always be risks.
Seems like we have a lot in common.
Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show.
And of course, it's your favorite girl, Sharon Idahosa.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show. So Let's Talk Agriculture is an agriculture public relations and communications firm helping you gain visibility, increase your brand awareness, and build thought leadership. If you love to learn more on how we can help, simply send an email to hello@letstalkagriculture.com. In this episode of the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show, we will be highlighting the importance of data in agriculture. We believe that as a business owner, it is important that you keep accurate production and financial data. On this note, let's welcome Kelvin Odobo, the founder of Shamba Pro, an agri-tech startup that helps smallholder farmers or small farm business owners in Africa build and run profitable and sustainable farm businesses. Hello, Kelvin. Thank you for joining the show today. How are you doing?
I'm okay. Hello, Sharon. And thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I'm really excited to have you here because, of course, I've seen the amazing things that you've been doing. And if you haven't noticed, I think you're my friend on Twitter. And I see how well you carry the youth along. So it's very interesting to have conversations with young people to see what they are doing, because I mean, they're the future of agriculture anyway. So thank you for joining the show once again.
Thank you.
So yes, Kelvin, why Shamba Pro? What drove you into building an agri-tech startup?
It's a long story. I'll try to cut it short. So it will help probably to talk a little bit about where I come from and what has happened in my life. I was born in a small town called Kakamega in Western Kenya, and I lived most of my early childhood in specifically two areas. One is called Bungoma, Western Kenya, where the dominant activity then was commercial production of maize, and then another place called Thika in Central Kenya, where we were basically living between rolling hills of coffee plantations, pineapple, commercial pineapple farming, livestock production, especially cattle for milk and so on and so forth, and as well as poultry, So thinking about it, of course, as a young man, you have so many ambitions in life. You want to be a pilot, you want to be an astronaut, you want to be a lawyer, you want to be everything, right?
Of course.
Yeah, so, but trying to track back, I think that influence of my background is what might have affected my interest specifically into agriculture. So something that happened is that I come from a place along the Kenya-Uganda border. It's called Busia. That's my place of origin. So having grown up in the places that I've told you about, going back to my area of origin and suddenly realizing that actually agriculture was something that is not respected. It's something that was for poor, rural, illiterate people. Mm-hmm. And something that people wanted to run out from. And having realized that my parents have actually been raised on proceeds of agriculture, cotton production, and so on and so forth, the striking contrast hit me, And I think that's when I started gyrating towards a career in agriculture. How I ended up in agriculture is that I ended up getting a scholarship from the government in Uganda to study Bachelor of Science in Agriculture, and then combining my history and what was happening then around where I was studying, I then realized that actually people are not taking agriculture and agribusiness as a serious thing. So around that time, I made the conscious decision to go into agriculture and agribusiness, and a lot of opportunities were around working for government, I intentionally decided not to work for government and go into agribusiness, into the private sector. And as soon after I finished my university, I got an opportunity to work for a British Israeli multinational then that was working into working with greenhouses, drip irrigation, high value seeds, you know, and a lot of farm inputs. And that's how I got involved into agriculture. Then in Uganda, I traveled all over the country in a period of 2 years. I was in a team of about 8 agronomists, and I tend to think because of my passion on how I was trying to do my work, I was asked then to go and start a similar business unit for that British Israeli multinational business in Rwanda, you know, and you know, and then Rwanda, and then it came into Burundi, Kenya, Tanzania, South Sudan, you know, Malawi. I eventually transformed into the beekeeping sector, where I took my experience with crop protection and crop nutrition products, and together with honey production, beekeeping, and you know, so that's where I got basically the experience with a small scale farmer in sub-Saharan Africa. Yeah, and that's where I got the challenge that eventually drove me into starting Shamba Pro as a business. Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That's an amazing journey. That is really an amazing journey. I mean, it's I think this is like a very long time I've heard somebody or a youth saying they actually went to the university to study agriculture. Because trust me, a lot of us, I'm saying us now because I'm also part of the people. A lot of us didn't want to study agriculture, right? For me, I never wanted to study agriculture, but eventually I found myself there, and trust me, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed being in this sector because there is so much to learn, there's so much to benefit, and this is why we have to keep on pushing it out for young people to see that there's something valuable here. There is a role for them to play in this sector. So I really want to applaud you for all that you've done and your involvement so far. Please keep on pushing and showing the youths that there's something to do in this sector. Thank you so much for sharing your story.
Yeah.
So I believe that accurate and reliable data is an important factor for any business. And of course, the agricultural sector is not left out. I believe that this is an important area for those in production. But you see, many farmers are yet to utilize the power of data. So considering you are empowering farmers with farm management tools, what measures have you put in place to make them see the need for a data-driven agribusiness?
Thank you for that question. And actually, before I actually answer that question, I'd just like to re-emphasize what you've talked. You know, I like to think that I'm a bit of an old school farmer or agronomist, and a new school kind of farmer or agronomist. The old school farmer depends on one, experience, usually experience of their parents or the people who came before them.
Mm-hmm.
They depend on information from their peers, you know. They depend on information from agriculture extension officials. They could be in government or in NGOs or working for private companies that are promoting specific technologies or solutions in agriculture. That is the old school professional farmer, you know. Now, the problem with that is that experience is not the best teacher, because a lot of things are happening and a lot of things are changing about agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are moving to an era where we are moving from what people think is the right thing to what is driven by data, you know. We are moving to a point where we say, okay, we're in April, it's going to be a rainy season, so you need to plant around mid-April because of what has happened in the last 100 years, yeah? To a point where we say, we are certain that in the next 30 days, it will rain on the 15th day and on the 18th day, and therefore it's the right time to plant on the 25th day because there's enough water in the soil, you know. So that alone is scary to a lot of people, because then it makes people realize that actually it's not about knowledge and experience, it's about data.
Mm-hmm.
And and farmers must depend on data, accurate data, to be able to do a successful agribusiness. And I'm saying new school and old school because I'm a typical example of that, you know, from advising people from my experience and experience of my peers to now guiding towards trying to depend on data, accurate data, to be able to make decisions that are most helpful in running a business. So how are we trying to do to help farmers to see the need for data-driven agribusiness? That is the core of our mission at Shamba Pro. So our mission at Shamba Pro ideally is to try to help small-scale farmers to de-risk their businesses using data and be able to build viable, sustainable farm businesses. So how do we get farmers into data? You know, traditionally, farmers keep records on paper.
Mm-hmm.
You and me know what happens with that. You know, farmers who go to the bank and start saying, okay, you know what? I have a very successful farm. I'm struggling because I can't expand or grow my business because I need money.
Funds, yeah.
Then the banker will instantly say, okay, show me how successful or how unsuccessful you've been. You know, a lot of farmers tend to fall back on emotion.
Yes.
And when the bank pushes back to try to ask for data, then all these banks, you know, these banks don't like agriculture and everything. I've been on both sides of that. So how do we help farmers to be able to appreciate the role of data and therefore be able to run their business more efficiently? So at Shamba Pro, as you know, we started a farm management software that depends on a simple smartphone. And along the way, we've been studying and talking to farmers all across Africa. And there are key things that we've learned and we're trying to implement to make sure that farmers can depend on data. One, please keep your records. How do you keep your records? You're using a smartphone app. A smartphone and a farmer in Africa are like two parallel things, you understand? So how do you bring them together? One, simple sign up. A farmer downloads an app, is able to sign up with a phone number, not an email, a phone number. You put in your phone number, you get a one-time password, you are able to enter and then fill in two things, your name and your farm name. Two, we have to be user-friendly. You know, there's a lot of talk about how farmers and technology are a problem. Sharon, I think you come from Nigeria. You can tell me about the usage of WhatsApp. You know, people use WhatsApp. People who don't even speak English use WhatsApp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's user-friendly. It's easy to use. So we are trying to use a solution that has a user-friendly interface, has a simple and intuitive interface that is easy for farmers to use, regardless of whether they went to school or not, and is something that is designed for the farmers in mind. You know, for example, if you want farmers to select a cattle enterprise, it's good to use the word cattle, but it's also beautiful to use a picture of a cow. You know, that's just an example. Two, technology in Africa has to go with in-person training and support. You know, you have to sit with farmers, help them feel comfortable about it, understand how to use it, and be available for them to ask questions at any point. Three, what is so important about this data that we're asking farmers to keep about their farms? The most important thing is, how does that data become useful to them? How do we visualize that data? The basic example is a simple financial statement that many farmers pay an arm and a leg to produce for their farm businesses. We want to generate these financial statements at a click of a button. I mean, income statement, cash flow statement, a balance sheet, for example. So we have to be able to visualize that data in a way that is useful to the farmer, in that case, financial statements, and also production reports. Can I look at my report and understand which farm enterprise between maize and tomato is more profitable, which is taking more capital than the other, which is more capital intensive, which one is easier to run, which employee or which farm worker is more effective than the other? So we have to make sure that data is useful. I mean, the tool has to be useful to a farmer who uses a simple techno phone, you know. I mean, techno rules Africa, you know. So, well, it's not like Apple in other areas. And then we also encourage farmers that apart from just saving the data from their farms, we have to make it interesting. We have to gamify the process of recording data. Do we reward people who are recording their data on a day-to-day basis? Do we reward people who are generating data visualization all the time to try to understand their businesses? Do we reward people who recommend, you know, the solution to other people? We have to make it fun. You know, I'd like to give you a silly example. You know, I'm a Manchester United fan and I have a Manchester United app on my phone. And every time I go to the app for maybe 7 days in a row, I'm rewarded with points, which, you know, I can earn in a certain way. We have to use technology and simplify it to the level which it is rewarding and exciting for an African farmer, you know. And in brief, I think, well, you can tell I can talk at you tomorrow, being a child of teachers and talking about my passion. So I'll end there for now.
Thank you for sharing that. I quite agree with what you've just mentioned, making it exciting, because truth be told, agriculture is so a lot of people, there's nothing exciting about agriculture, and that is what we are trying to make youth to see. That's what we want them to see. That's what we want the farmers to see. So if we can make agriculture exciting, attractive, and that's where the whole technology comes in. So now we've brought this technology that can be beneficial to them. Now what can we still do? Because, you know, you can be giving some sort of support to people, right? But then they still want to see what the benefit is. You've brought something good for them. They'll still be asking you, why should I use this? Why do you want me? I'm telling you, this thing is good. you're seeing that this thing is going to work wonders for you, but you're still questioning it. Because people just really want to be sure of what they are doing. Even if they're clearly seeing that this thing is very, very good for them, they still want to wonder, why do I need this? Why do I need that? So if we could still give them some sort of reward, because this is the age that we are in right now. And just like you said, some of them are still old school. So you have to still seek ways to help them want to adopt the technologies that we're trying to bring into play. So another question I have for you quickly, I know this is something that I didn't push up, but from our conversations right now, I'm just wondering, what about the farmers that do not have access to smartphones? Because you said you just have to make use of your phone, they have to download it on their mobile phones. So what about these farmers in rural communities that do not have access to smartphones? So how do they access these tools? How do they access this farm management tool that Shamba Pro has worked on?
So I'd like to give three parallel answers to this question. One, as of now, the solution is available on the App Store and Google Play Store. So that means a simple smartphone can be used. In the next few weeks, it will be available on a laptop. Now, the second part of that question is this. As a practitioner, as an agribusiness practitioner, I deal in this issue a lot. My ultimate aim is to professionalize the farmer. As much as I'm ambitious and I have the will, I need to get it done. And to get it done, as a startup founder, I have to start from somewhere. So the easiest way to start is using a smartphone solution, because then also going forward in the next 10, 20 years, ideally, we know that everyone is going to move to the smartphone. So for now, we do not have a specific solution for a farmer who is not on a smartphone or on a laptop. But again, I believe that a farmer who is growing for the market should be able to access these tools. Going forward, we are trying to develop a USSD solution that is as thrift and as useful as the smartphone solution that can help a farmer to move, you know, to a point where they understand that actually it's necessary. We have Sharon, me and you and many of us have a serious challenge when talking about trying to make farming or agriculture a professional business in Africa. Majority of African farmers actually doing farming as a subsistence activity. They are doing it to survive. There's a growing segment I call the silent majority that is coming up to do agribusiness as a business or farming as a business. And these people actually do not have the challenge of access to smartphone or access to technology or willingness. There's a big number of those that are still doing it subsistence that are doing it because they have no other choice. And if they get another choice, they'll leave farming. So we have to make a conscious decision. The traditional way is to say, let's try to help every farmer to become professional. But my thinking is that at the end of the day, not every farmer, a practicing farmer, will want to do farming as a business. And if we focus on trying to convert every African farmer into business, we will have a challenge. I mean, that becomes at individual level, at government level, at regional level. We have to focus on the people who are most likely to take agriculture as a business, use, scale, tap the opportunity, and feed the rest. And probably a lot of the farmers who are in, just because they have no choice, we probably have to give them education, we have to give them skills, and transition them into other sectors, either of agribusiness or the economy. If we focus so much on trying to get everyone into the bag, and I believe a lot of African governments are doing that, we are going to have a challenge. We are confusing the issues of food security with production and nutrition and safety and all these things. So it's a long answer to your question, but again, it just tells you why we are focused on a certain segment and we are trying to move a lot of farmers, young people, middle-aged people into that segment, other than trying to bring everyone into the same basket and trying to push them ahead. Thanks.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I totally agree with that. There will be so much confusion if you're trying to see how to drag everyone to see agriculture as a business, because there are so many farmers that are just comfortable with just the subsistence farming they're practicing. So if you're trying to drag them along, I think it draws the process, it slows down the process. So I guess we can only do the best that we can. Just like you mentioned, we just probably have to identify those that are already working in that direction, those that are already seeing agriculture as a business, because we can only do the best we can to really let people know that agriculture is a business. And once we continue sensitizing about agriculture being a business, and then we keep seeing people that are moving towards that direction and seeing it as a business and working towards it, then we know these are the people that we should focus on. There are some people that should actually just be where they are, and that's just the truth. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
thank you. It's good that we stay focused. Stay focused to the course, stay focused to and work with those that are already doing something, because we need those people to really expand the way we want to. So thank you for sharing that. I understand the direction you're coming from. So I think that's really important.
Yeah.
It's important. We try to stay focused and not try to drag everyone along. If not, we'll just miss it. Thank you. So as much as we like to get people involved with tech as well, I know we've said something a little bit about this, but sometimes people that do not want to implement a technology, sometimes people do not want to implement technology because they do not fully understand the need for it. We already said something like that, and the good that it does for them. So what can you highlight as some of the benefits of using a farm management tool in agriculture today? because let's try to let people know that there is a benefit, because just like I mentioned to you, you can be bringing something of value to people and then they still tell you, why should I use it? But I'm telling you that this thing is really good. It's going to be beneficial to you, but yet they still want to see what can they benefit from it. It's like I'm giving you something good and then you want me to still pay you to use that same thing that is good. Do you understand? So there are people like that. So how can we, what can you highlight as some of the benefits when we talk about farm management in agriculture today? You can generalize Africa if you want to.
Exactly. Thank you, Sharon. That's a critical one. One, what we are trying to do here is to help the farm business owner to keep accurate records, their own accurate records. Accurate records are essential, first of all, to just have an efficient business. Because if you have accurate records, you're able to know where your problems are, where your low-hanging fruits are, where to improve, where you should cut down on your costs. So it helps, first of all, just to bring efficiency, to bring organization. Two, every farm business, I'm sure you've met a lot of farmers who complain that, one, they don't have access to finance.
Oh, indeed, yes. Now,
exactly. Now, access to finance can be solved first by having an accurate track record of what you've been doing. If I know how you've been doing, whether you are successful or not successful, whether you're profitable or not, I can be able to know how and where to help you, where to invest, be it cash or other resources. You cannot do that on mere insinuation or emotion. So record keeping is the first, actually, it brings the first transparency to be able to help a farmer to be able to qualify for financing, be it a grant, be it a loan, be it an investment. Two, of course, I've talked about efficiency. I can also talk about communication. One of the reasons why a lot of farms fail is poor communication. A worker sees a problem, they fear to tell their boss because they'll be blamed that they've not done what they've not done. Yet actually, if they communicate earlier, a problem is nipped in the bud. So, for example, this solution helps communication between a farm owner, farm worker, a farm expert, be an agronomy or veterinary expert, to be able to be on top of everything that is happening on the farm. Next, transparency. When there's transparency in the farm business, Sharon, I'm not sure if you've been a farmer, you know. There are a lot of
anything yet.
There are a lot of people who are telephone farmers who are trying to do a business and they work or they have another business. And they have to deal with phone calls from farm workers to buy this and buy that and buy this and buy that, you know, because there's no transparency. So you're farming on the phone. There are successful cases of telephone farming and there are very unsuccessful cases of telephone farming. So the transparency that a farm management software brings to you as a farm business is very crucial in helping you to succeed. The other benefits, you know, you can access information. If it's a weather alert, if it's price information, if it is technical advice, a software helps to sort of merge the point of where information can easily be exchanged by all the stakeholders within the farm society, you know. So, but again, sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot. Now, I'm speaking like a founder of a farm, of a tax setup, or somebody who has worked with a lot of technology solutions. We tend to push technology to farmers. Farmers are very smart, by the way. Farmers know that they want to make money, and they look at two things: the cost and the benefit. And therefore, they are looking for solutions that can help them to be able to see that matrix of cost and benefit. So farmers are looking for solutions. A lot of us service providers push technology to farmers. I'm sorry to say, sometimes you'll go back to your home area and you realize that your father is facing 20 solutions to try to help them farm better in a business that has a probably a cash flow of $1,000 over a year. It's just too much, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We should learn to take solutions to the farmer. Sometimes they have nothing to do with technology. And secondly, we should learn to be able to coordinate. You know, one of the frustrations I faced as someone who has been in the sector for about 15 to 18 years is that my farmers just have too much on their plate. And if they are to focus on these solutions, they'll end up actually not doing what they are supposed to do, which is producing food, you know. And I was constantly facing farmers who they believe that they can succeed. And when I look at their case critically, I realize that all the solutions to their problems exist. Either they cannot access them, or they don't know about them, or they cannot afford them, you know. And then there are 16 NGOs dealing with them, there are 16 companies dealing with them, and there are 16 agriculture extension agents dealing with them, giving conflicting information, which brings total chaos. Collaboration in terms of delivering solutions to farmers, in terms of if I have a solution and Sharon has a solution, they should be able to work together to serve the purpose of the farmer, other than me trying to promote my solution and you're trying to promote your solution and messing up the farmer. Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you so much. I think that's really true. It is important that we work together, because at the end of the day, we are trying to provide a solution. So if you're just trying to bring the solution down to their faces because you want to make money out of it, it is actually a very wrong approach. So if there is Mr. A with this solution, Mr. B with that solution, both parties have to come together to see if these solutions will be beneficial to the farmers. But if you've seen that this your own doesn't work for the farmer, then you should learn to step aside. That is my thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Everybody shouldn't just be trying to make money, because at the end of the day, the farmers are at loss. We are trying to bring solutions to them, but at the same time, we are draining their pockets, right? So
it's the farmer who should be making the money, right?
it's the farmer who should be making the money. No, but on a serious note, it's very funny. And sometimes I usually say that agri-tech companies, they should be meeting with farmers to know what they actually need, instead of just developing solutions and not really trying to understand what they need. Because there are so many agri-tech companies, and I keep saying this, there's so many of them. Yes, I know, and it's very amazing because we see new solutions coming into play. But are these solutions really beneficial to the farmers? Or is it just to prove that we are actually doing something, or we want to just get money out of the solutions that we're providing? Is it actually solving the problem? Or we're just shoving down these solutions down the farmers' throats, right? So we should
just at a quick back, right?
We should be considering all of these things. We should be considering all of these things. So I think not just the farmers now. We also need to create some sort of sensitization for these agri-tech startups as well, and those that are even trying to dive right into the sector. I mean, make tailored solutions for the farmers. And the only way you can do that is when you get feedback from the farmers, which is very key. So I'm really glad, because of course I went through your technology, I went through your solution, and it's something that I believe it is very crucial for farmers, because just like you mentioned, getting access to finance, these are the things that banks, financial institutions are looking out for. And when farmers cannot show this proof, it becomes very difficult. It becomes very difficult, and sometimes there are funds available, but the farmers are not getting it because they cannot really prove to say, because of course banks don't want their money to just go to voicemail, right? They also want to get something from it. So if you cannot prove this and that, it becomes very difficult for them to disburse funds. So sometimes I don't really blame the financial institutions. I mean, we have to be accountable for what we want, right? So thank you so much for sharing this, and I believe that this solution is something very crucial for farmers, and we definitely have to be pushing it out for more people to see it. And really, I hope I can always help you out to push it out to see how we can spread the solutions and help farmers to move forward. Thank you so much once again.
Thank you, Sharon. And it looks sort of self-defeating. You understand that actually I'm here to talk about it, and I'm telling you some of the challenges that farmers face with new technology. I think from my personal experience, I've decided that we need to create a network of like-minded people, like me and you, you know, to intentionally be able to talk about these things, the pros and cons, you know, without a bias, you know, of agribusiness, the opportunities in the food system, and how young Africans can actually be able to make sustainable incomes, create jobs, you know, stabilize African economies. We have to intentionally sit together on either on a physical or virtual table to be able to advance this agenda. We cannot keep waiting for people who are doing it for profit or people who are doing it for NGOs for funding. And that's the thing that's why you say I follow your Twitter. I've been following what you're doing, you know. And I'm willing to participate more in this kind of endeavor within or without what I'm trying to do for the farmers. Because I think that is the most crucial element that we as Africans who have, I can say, opened their eyes, can do to help our fellow Africans and our continent.
Sure, thank you so much. We definitely have to start doing something, and I'm glad you're already doing something at your end, and I'm also doing the same because I run a non-profit anyway, and it's more about catering to young people and women in agriculture, helping them see the benefits of being in agriculture and how to help them grow. So we have different projects that we are working on. And even without the support of anybody, yeah, we'll still continue pushing it out to ensure that the youth and women get what they deserve. And I really hope we can get more people, because of course agriculture is teamwork. We can always work together to ensure that we grow the sector the way we want it to be. So thank you so much for what you're doing already. And we believe that more people will begin to see the lights and will move towards this direction. Thank you so much once again. So guys, we have come to the end of today's episode. I hope you love and enjoy this episode. Please do well to share it. If you love to advertise your business on our podcast, please send us an email to podcast@letstalkagriculture.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and do well to suggest your topics, what you'd like us to cover.